Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Do you like chocolate? Well, I think all I do, and I know my panelists do, so stay with us as we talk about the future of chocolate today. Well, it's September 27th, and we're talking about our money article today. But I think it's kind of an interesting topic underneath our money article. It's about the future of chocolate. And I have two chocolate lovers with me in the studio today. I'm Linda, and with me I have
Liz. Happy to be here to talk about chocolate.
I knew she was. And?
And Catherine. I am also very excited to spend some time talking about chocolate.
And we have chocolate with us in the studio, so we can talk and eat at the same time. And we see here that actually the makers of chocolate are adjusting or changing their recipes to be more successful because this industry is also changing. And what does it really have to do with money? You know, this is our money article. It's kind of interesting.
Well, the chocolate industry is a money-making industry, mm-hmm. and therefore, rightfully so, we should talk about chocolate when we're talking about money articles.
Well, I know that there's a global cocoa shortage. So the problem that they're having is that I think prices are having to rise and they're having to figure out what to do to compensate for this problem.
Okay, so we're going to, that's some of the topics that we're going to be talking about in our chocolate article. If you have magazine with you, turn to page 42, and let's do the reading in the left-hand column.
The future of chocolate. Chocolate makers are adjusting their recipes for success. In 92 years, See's Candies has never shied away from being old-fashioned. At the factory in Los Angeles, some octogenarian workers measure their decades of employment in hip replacements. Quaint floral details are still hand-piped onto chocolate eggs. An inexorable march of candies heads through tubes the length of a football field where they're drenched in layers of chocolate, a traditional practice known as enrobing. Like cars merging out of highway toll lanes, they appear from cooling tunnels into employees' waiting hands.
Well, this is also one of my favorite candy companies, See's Candies. And actually, there's one in Taipei on Zhongshan North Road, if anybody's interested.
Is there really?
Yes,
there is. No one tells me the good information.
I walked by it the other day and went, oh, See's Chocolate. Well, we're talking about a company with 92 years of history of chocolate making. And it says that See's Candies has never shied away from being old-fashioned. This is kind of an interesting phrase. Mm-hmm. Do you ever shy away from anything, Liz?
Not that I know of, but if I do, I'll let you know.
But to shy away. Certainly not shy away from chocolate.
No, definitely not. But to shy away just means to avoid. We think about shy being a person who's not really excited about being with other people. They want to stay away. So to shy away just means you just mm-hmm. don't want to be around something.
Yeah, I think kind of we use this maybe for me, maybe I shy away if like a bug is flying at me and I try to get out of the way of it. Or maybe if a car is coming, we move out of the way, we shy away from it.
And some people shy away from being like on stage or making a speech or something if they – Kitty's raising her hand here.
Yes.
But here it's talking about See's Candies has never shied away from being old-fashioned. They've always taken pride in it. And there are some things, you know, usually we think, oh, that's so old-fashioned. It has a negative meaning. But mm-hmm. here it can mean quality. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think when a lot of people think of this candy company, or a lot of candy companies, they think about the quality of the candy. Mm-hmm. And we see that it's actually a Californian company, okay? And mm-hmm. it started, they're talking about the factory in Los Angeles. They have some octogenarian workers, and that means people that are 80 to 89 uh-huh. years old. Mm-hmm. They're still working there. I love this sentence.
I do too.
They measure their decades of employment in hip replacements. That is a great – this is very figurative.
Right. It's interesting how you take something – well, hip replacements, they're not pleasant because something has gone wrong with your skeletal structure and you have to have your hips replaced. But to be able to take a problem and say something humorous about it, I think that says a lot about your sense of humor.
That's right. So this is quite an entertaining writer, actually.
Well, I think that sentence, personally for me, I get a good visual. I envision all these cute little old people in a chocolate factory, you know, decorating the chocolates and everything. And I like that.
I know. And you know that they've been doing it for decades, mm-hmm. so they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And the next sentence actually lends itself to this description. Quaint floral details are still hand-piped onto chocolate eggs. So when we think of the word quaint, what do you usually think of?
Very cute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Quaint, kind of old-fashioned, too, like the article says.
Right. Old-fashioned, charming, cute. Mm-hmm. And they have these details that are still hand-piped. We have this word piped. Now, it's not like a pipe mm-hmm. that water goes through, but it kind of looks like it. If you hand-pipe something, this is a verb here, it means to decorate chocolate mm-hmm. or to decorate a cake or dessert, and it makes it look like you're writing on it.
That's right. Think of it like taking a toothpaste, mm-hmm. squeezing it out and making designs from it or writing with the toothpaste. But instead of toothpaste, we're using cream or whatever else.
Right. And they're talking about chocolate eggs. So I think they're talking usually around Easter time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they make chocolate Easter eggs and they have like a pretty old-fashioned hand pipe design on them,
mm-hmm.
which is very appealing.
Yes. Great gifts.
Okay. Catherine, do you want to talk about the next paragraph for us?
Sure. In the next paragraph, we see it says an inexorable march of candies heads through tubes the length of a football field. So whenever it says inexorable, it means continuing without any possibility of being stopped. So to me, this basically means that there's just a conveyor belt of chocolate as far as the eye can see. Maybe my heaven. Sorry.
And a football field. Actually, I could have looked up the measurement of this, but it's an American football field.
It's 300 yards long, which doesn't really help. But
a yard is 3 feet.
Yeah. Yes, sorry.
So, and a foot is 30 centimeters.
Right.
So you can do the math.
Thank you.
Yes. Now you have to be mathematicians to listen to us here.
Right.
But it means it's really, really big.
Mm-hmm.
I was like shocked when I read that. The length of a football field and they are going through tubes. Mm-hmm. The tubes are that long.
Mm-hmm.
And inside these tubes, they are drenched in layers of chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So have you ever been drenched?
Like in the rain?
Right. Oh. That's what we usually think of, don't we?
Yeah. I have that problem a lot with getting drenched here.
Right.
You can also get drenched, sweat. Sweating a lot sometimes will make you just feel like you're so soaked.
Yeah.
And so some people would say they're drenched in sweat.
Yeah, right. I think that's a really common phrase, drenched mm-hmm. in sweat.
And drenched, yes, I got drenched in the rain. So here they're drenched in chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it could be our dream.
This is a good drench.
Yes, this is a good drench. And we see that this practice of drenching a piece of candy in layers of chocolate is known as enrobing.
That's a very cute way of describing, because a robe is that garment or that clothing item we put over outside. It's something we wear on the outside. And so mm-hmm. you're covering, like chocolate is a robe for the candy.
That's true. And usually, you know, when you bite into a piece of candy, that there is like a harder, not hard, but a harder
outside
to it. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the robe of the chocolate. That's
mm-hmm.
so cute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I like this image, like cars merging out of highway toll lanes.
Mm-hmm.
These pieces of candy appear from cooling tunnels into employees' waiting hands.
Mm-hmm. We see that.
So they just come together.
Yes, and you can see it here, yes. Actually, you know, the title of C's, it says here C's Candies, is really California's famous old-time candies. That's really what they call themselves. And their motto is quality without compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so I certainly think of quality when I think of See's candies.
Yeah, it's kind of they're not changing for anything.
Right.
I think,
they're not making them cheaper. They're not using lesser quality products or anything. It's quality without compromise. Well, we have a lot more to talk about in our second column here, so stay with us as we do the reading.
Industry changes. Old time is part of See's slogan, but the South San Francisco company is evolving along with the rest of the chocolate industry, forced by predicaments far more severe than I Love Lucy conveyor belt hijinks. Chocolate is a huge business, pulling in $90 billion in global sales annually, $19 billion of it in the U.S., according to market research company Mintel Group Limited. Price increases and product innovation helped the industry grow 16% from 2007 through 2012, the firm found. But scientists predict a looming cocoa bean shortage, intensified by climate change and botanical disease. The International Cocoa Organization said that global production in the last growing year fell 6.1%, and it forecasts a 1.8% slide this year. That would probably cause a cocoa shortfall of 45,000 metric tons in the current marketing year ending September 30, the group said. Tighter supplies, as well as rising sugar and manufacturing costs, are adding to the price of truffles and bonbons. Sugar prices have risen 11.6% on average in each of the past 5 years, influencing Hershey Company's decision in 2011 to raise wholesale prices on most of its candy products by 9.7%. In addition, health-minded U.S. consumers, increasingly wary of sugary snacks, are nibbling on fresh fruit 10 times more over the course of a year than they do on chocolate, according to research firm NPD.
So we see that the industry is changing, and again, we're looking at See's. It says old time is part of See's slogan, and I just said it right before we had our reading, California's famous old time candies, okay? And now we see that they're based in San Francisco, and they are also having to evolve. Why are they using this word evolve?
Well, I think it means that they're having to change or grow because of outside circumstances.
Okay, so they are evolving or changing a little bit, and so is the rest of the chocolate industry. They can't not. And they are forced to do this. They are not doing this willingly, but forced by predicaments far more severe. Let's just talk about this phrase itself. Okay, forced by predicaments far more severe. What does this mean?
Just means that there are situations that are very serious.
Okay.
And these situations are what's causing the industry to make these adjustments.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then it's saying, this is a comparison, then I Love Lucy conveyor belt hijinks. Okay, now, I Love Lucy was a very famous comedy show from 1951 to 1957. And you can put it into like YouTube and they show clips, and you can probably even get the one of the chocolate factory. And in fact, this person, the star of this show, Lucille Ball, is really considered one of the greatest comedians of all time. And a lot of comedians, even today, take the way they act, the way they even pause when they say a punchline or do something from Lucille Ball.
I think she's an inspiration to many people.
She is. She really is considered one of the greatest comedians of all times. And they're talking about a specific episode where she and her friend, this older friend, Ethel, go to work in a chocolate factory.
Right. And unfortunate things happened along the way as they're trying to pack up these candies.
Right. So it says conveyor belt hijinks. What does that mean, Liz?
Well, hijinks we see here in the vocabulary focus box, energetic and excited behavior in which people do funny things or play tricks on someone.
Right. And the conveyor belt?
The conveyor belt is basically that what we see in many factories when you send something down and it just sits on this long strip and it just comes to you, the product.
Right. This is one of her most famous shows, actually, this this chocolate factory scene about where they're packing chocolates or
right.
eating them.
Yes. I haven't seen a lot of I Love Lucy, but this is the one scene that's – whenever I think of I Love Lucy, I think of this scene. So it's definitely worth a watch if you have time.
Right. And so there's a lot of problems in this show. So they're saying that now the predicaments or the situations are much more serious in the chocolate industry. You know, we've talked about coffee many times, and we've also talked about chocolate before. It is a huge business, $90 billion globally.
Mm-hmm.
That is...
It's a significant number.
Right.
Yes. And $19 billion of it in the U.S., but that's less than 20%, even though it still is a huge amount. And this is according to a market research company, Mintel Group LTD.
Mm-hmm.
The price increases and product innovation help the industry grow 16% from 2007 to 2012. That's very, very interesting and significant, too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like the industry had been doing well through those years, so that's positive.
Right. And now, what is happening now, Liz?
Well, scientists are predicting, we see here on line 12, a looming, that means it's growing, it's getting bigger, this cocoa bean shortage. And why do we have this shortage? It is intensified by climate change and botanical disease.
So what does that really mean? What's happening here?
Basically, where do we get chocolate? We get it from cocoa beans. But when a cocoa bean shortage is becoming a problem because of environmental problems. Mm-hmm. The climate is changing. We're also having disease. These cocoa plants, they can't handle the disease. Then we're definitely not going to get as many beans as we'd like. And then, therefore, less chocolate.
Yeah, I think what they're doing here is whenever they say a looming shortage, they're predicting a problem ahead. That's what they say. They're giving us a warning so that maybe these companies can prepare and try to find a way to compensate for this problem.
Okay. And intensified here, this is a great word. It just means it's made worse, okay, by the climate change and this botanical disease, as Liz was talking about. And botanical just means having to do with plants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we know, you know, there's a lot of spraying going on to try to save crops, and different diseases affect different kinds of plants. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have an international cocoa organization. I think that is so interesting. And they say, this organization said that global production in the last growing year fell 6.1%. So that seems to really support what the scientists are predicting, don't you think?
Yeah, it does. And to me, 6.1, that's not a little amount for this. So it seems like it's definitely happening, what they predict.
Right. And they continue on saying that they forecast a 1.8% slide. So that means we're not just going to stop at 6.1.
We're going to continue.
That's right.
Yeah.
And slide here, this is an interesting use of this word, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just means continue to go down
because
you don't slide up. Well, can you slide up? You usually slide down. So then we see that if this happens, really, because the forecast is a prediction now, that it would cause a cocoa shortfall of 45,000 metric tons.
Wow.
That's insane.
That's a lot of cocoa that we won't have available. And 45,000 metric tons in the current marketing year, which will end September 30th in a couple of days, actually.
Mm.
This is according to the International Cocoa Organization. So we can see that there is going to be a big problem in the chocolate industry. So let's go on and take a look at the next paragraph.
Okay. Well, we see that tighter supplies as well as rising sugar and manufacturing costs are adding to the price of truffles and bonbons. So there's a lot of different factors that are making things more expensive for the industry.
Okay. So one is rising sugar. We also know that sugar is, there's a problem with sugar production also for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So those supplies, we say tighter supplies means there are fewer supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And adding to the price of truffles and bonbons now. These are chocolate words or candy words.
Right. If you go into one of these full-on, these huge candy stores, they will tell you that there are different kinds of chocolate products. You don't just go in and say, I would like a box of chocolate, because that doesn't mean anything. They will actually ask you, which kind?
Right.
And we see here two kinds here, but there are more.
There are more. But I actually looked these up last night because I've never really known what the difference between truffles and bonbons are. Do you guys know?
I have not.
No, they just all taste good to me.
I'm with Liz.
Actually, I really couldn't tell a huge difference as I was reading. I read like 3 or 4 definitions of each of them. I was like, they sound the same to me. But a truffle, actually, when they use the word truffle, to me, it's a little bit higher class than a bonbon. Mm. And to me, when I've always grown up, I've always thought of bonbons as being a little bit smaller than mm-hmm. a truffle.
Okay.
But that's only in my imagination, probably. So a truffle is a small, round, soft chocolate, okay? And it has, sometimes it has alcohol in it, and it often includes nuts, and it can be covered with cocoa powder itself.
Okay. Yes.
And a bonbon is a center filled with fondant, and a fondant... If you've ever bitten into a chocolate and there's like a creamy, sugary something on the inside of it, that's fondant, and it can be flavored. It's a creamy sugar paste.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes they are chocolate flavored. They can be almond flavored, mm-hmm. you know, various strawberry flavored. That's the fondant of the chocolate.
Okay.
And the bonbon is a center with fondant, and it can have fruit, nuts, and it's covered with chocolate. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those we talked about earlier, the march of candies down the football field that are enrobed in chocolate. They have a lot of good phrases in here. But the other thing that we have to look at here is that sugar prices have risen quite a bit here.
That's right. They've risen 11.6% on average in each of the past 5 years. And because of this, it says that it influenced Hershey Company's decision to raise prices on most of its candy products by 9.7%.
And wow. That's wholesale prices.
Wholesale prices.
Yeah.
So I have noticed we're eating chocolate in the studio here, and we're eating Hershey's chocolate.
Yeah.
So this is more expensive than it was, a lot more expensive than it was 5 years ago. For this.
So sad. So,
I know.
I know.
You can tell you're talking to chocolate lovers here. But we're seeing that sugar prices have risen and that also the cost of the cocoa bean is rising. Mm-hmm. So all of these are leading to higher prices.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we go to the top of the next page, we see our last paragraph here. It says that in addition to this, health-minded U.S. consumers increasingly wary of sugary snacks. If you're wary of something, what are you?
You're being very cautious.
Yeah.
You probably aren't too excited to have too much of it or to be close to it.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So these health-minded U.S. consumers
mm-hmm.
are increasingly wary of sugary snacks.
It means they are conscious of trying to stay healthy, and so they're trying to limit their sugar intake, and so therefore that's going to affect how they're going to look at chocolate.
So what are they doing, Liz?
They're nibbling on fresh fruit 10 times more over the course of a year than they do on chocolate, which is a smart thing to do, to be nibbling more fruit, but unfortunately they're giving up chocolate because there's only enough room for one item, fruit or chocolate, take your pick.
Right. That's a big increase, 10 times more over the course of a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a big increase.
Yeah, and I think that happens a lot these days. I know that I personally have stopped eating so much chocolate. Yeah, it's a special treat for me now, but I try, like this says, to eat more fruit whenever I can instead of chocolate.
Okay, you know you can buy chocolate-covered fruit, don't you?
I know. I was just going to say, or you can
chocolate
spread
fondue.
Some chocolate over your banana.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
You know, when I visited, this is a little off the subject, but when I visited Europe, I loved Holland because they have a lot of varieties of even different shapes and kinds of chocolate that they put on their toast in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
It was fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Different
oh.
kinds of chocolate spreads.
They have chocolate sprinkles, chocolate curls, mm-hmm. chocolate. And it's all meant to put on their toast in the morning.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
Sounds like an amazing place.
But, you know, we're looking at the effect of chocolate, the future of chocolate, according to the according to money, according to the finance industry, and it does seem like that it's going to be going up. It's getting more and more expensive to buy. Are you going to continue to buy chocolate?
Absolutely. I will. Maybe not as often, especially if it seems like it said earlier that the prices are going up on chocolate, you know, may cut back a little bit. But I think this shows that these companies are definitely facing what we would call an uphill battle. There's a lot of things against them, but they're trying to work through it.
That's how about you, right. Liz?
Well, I think the point is to be able to get chocolate. As to how I'm going to get my chocolate, we will find a way.
There's always a way. Mm-hmm. So let's go back and take a look here again. What did you find most striking about this article today?
I would say that even though a company like See's, which has definitely enjoyed quite a legacy, they too are feeling the pinch. And so they too are feeling that or they realize they have to make the necessary adjustments in order to continue to stay in business.
I think that's going to be quite a challenge. You know, it's very difficult to maintain your quality while the industry is changing. So somebody is going to have to pay. And
yes.
It's going to be the consumer.
That's true. I think from today, really, I wanted to talk about the cocoa bean shortage. I mean, I drink a lot of coffee, and I know that that's going to be affected as well. So in the next few years, I'll be interested to see how this plays out, if this becomes a huge problem or if it kind of settles.
Right. Well, I want everybody to stay with us for tomorrow, because tomorrow we're going to be continuing our Future of Chocolate article, and we're going to see what chocolate companies are doing about changing what they're doing and how they're changing and what they're looking at, the challenges and how they're going to face them, so that we can continue to enjoy our favorite treat. Right?
That's important.
Well, thank you all for joining us today. And I want to ask one last question. What is your favorite chocolate?
A Twix bar.
How about you, Liz?
It doesn't matter.
I like chocolate-covered nuts.
Oh, chocolate-covered almonds.
Yeah, chocolate-covered almonds, chocolate-covered peanuts, you know. That's why I love See's candies. They have one box of, it's called Nuts and Chews, also with like caramel in them.
Yummy.
That's my favorite kind. And what about you, listeners? What is your favorite kind of chocolate? You can tell us on our advanced Facebook page or write to us and let us know.
Yeah, that's right. Write to us, please. We love to hear from you.
Yes, we do. And join us tomorrow for more chocolate. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.